you know, you're cool, that's
you. You're like blue, right?
Okay, so...
Who's calling your consigliere?
Yeah.
There you go.
What, wait, so we're
the
like...
The truth is that... Would that be Illuminati?
No, that's the Mafia. It's what I do. Honestly, I'm not going to get into any details.
You probably get it out of the way.
This is why Basecamp is bad.
Basecamp's amazing.
I hate it.
You just gotta learn to love it.
Yeah, they said that about the Nazis.
Don't go to the computer. Let's go upstairs.
Regardless, I'm going off topic. Mac Photo Chain.
Okay, keep going. I'm sure. During your sunshine now. Okay, you know what? Why don't you have these meetings? Like, why don't we say, okay, here's the plan. Right? I'm Basecamp.
Here's the way a proper sensory thing works. What you do is you get everyone in the brewery. And what you do is you start out with a beer that is spiked so bad that any reasonable consumer would spit it out and say,
and then tell everybody.
So this is that like cigar. Anyone who doesn't say, I hate this beer,
you're blind. Okay, I see what you're
saying. It's all blind. So you spike this beer so bad with, it could be diacetyl, it could be oxygen. You're going to do a series of spike tests. You can't.
I should include graphs. Okay. In my report, first off, I should do detail on my report. Right now, I'm averaging out. Like that, people are starting with lug for aging, for example. Like 2 weeks, three.
What I've heard is that your graphs are somewhat useless because if Matt and Bryce aren't there, you get a way higher pass rate. So you'll test the same beer. If you test a beer and it gets a bad rating when Matt and Bryce are there, then it gets a good rating if Matt and Bryce are at a conference.
Right, yeah.
Matt and Bryce come back, which has the same beer, gets a bad rating because
they're back and they're bringing the more critical of it.
But there's ways you can address that. So when you're testing for a certain quality, I can tell you right now that as a taster, my best detection is on diacetyl. I can taste the slightest hint of diacetyl and I hate it. Even beer that is supposed to
Why don't you on my channel, man?
Well, because if I start drinking at 10 in the morning, I'm going to drink all day.
I could make them later.
The reason I'm on your channel is because
Okay. Alright, so.
I'm not finishing what I'm saying. Without interrupting, let me go through this.
Yes.
The first thing you do, you get together everyone and spiked beer imaginable. You spiked it so bad that you'd literally have no tongue and no nose to not notice that this is awful.
Right.
Anyone who can't detect it is immediately excluded from any further testing on whatever you spiked them on. Because, you know, I can test diacetyl really well. I cannot, for the life of me, tell carbonation. So if a beer is flat or overcarbonated, I have absolutely no ability to detect it.
Okay.
So if you're doing a carbonation test and you're putting this into a spreadsheet, every time you test me with if you're testing me on my ability to detect whether or not Lugtrade was adequately carbonated.
Can you sit down and no, because this is actual
But let me go through.
Okay.
Yeah. You will find that if you're spiking beer with diacetyl, when you do your heavy spike test, I will spit it on the floor. I will not swallow a beer spiked with diacetyl.
Okay.
Because I just cannot abide that taste. I hate it. if you're if you spike me on uncarbonated beer, I will be completely ignorant to the difference. So you do everyone in your tasting and you crash their results on spike tests. So you're not even there is no point in testing people on good beer until you have their threshold levels on their ability to detect spoilers. What's the point? You know, you give me a glass of beer that's perfectly good, or a glass of beer that's perfectly uncarbonated, and I say it's good, it might get approved even though the carbonation is too low based on the weight of my boat. Yes. But if you know for a fact that you have no ability to detect carbonation, and the issue you are trying to track is carbonation, what you can do at that point is on tracking that testing, everyone who was exceptional at tracking specifically carbonation, and that's a whole thing. Like you do an actual sit down taste.
Carbonation would be it's that fork. It's like we need you to be able to tell it.
So yeah. So specifically, you get a sample of Lovetread that's not carbonated at all, and people sit down and say, "What's wrong with this beer?" Or describe this beer. You don't say what's wrong, because then they know
you're biased. Yeah.
Describe this beer. And most people will tell you, well, it feels a bit flat. I won't. Because I can't detect carbonation. Okay. I can tell the difference between a Diet Coke and wort.
Okay.
Like, I'm not completely immune to it, but I do not have anywhere in the threshold that you need to be to taste that. Yeah. And that's the whole thing, is no one can taste, well, professionals can taste everything,
yeah,
but most people can't taste everything. So,
what was going on?
Yeah, but it's a sensory thing, right?
Right.
So it doesn't matter.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, you're right. Exactly.
I'm just
sensory. Yeah, sorry. I know language. Sorry.
I'm just, you know, using the.
You got the carbonation thing.
Well,
yeah.
And I know that I can't tell a difference.
Okay.
And so when people bring me samples, I say, certain situations, people will bring me samples. I judge carbonation by sight. It happens once a month or so. There's no brewers around. They're not allowed to package until someone tastes it. And they're like, Phil, can you do this? And I'm like, I will. So I know that carbonation is not foam. Carbonation is movement inside tank. Foam is foam retention. It's action of proteins. So I understand the process. So I taste it. It's not unpleasant to me. I can feel effervescence and see what looks like Lovetread. I have a visual memory of properly carbonated Lovetread.
You know, it's like, okay, got the rib, a few bubbles. All right. Pretty fine. A lot of them. Yeah, I gave you.
So I can fake it, but I know that there is always a risk every time if I do. If I'm the person who signs off on a Lovetread, there is always a risk that you should go,
hey, I should tell them.
But we're still going into like interrupty territory, and I'm not saying don't talk, but there is literally no point in doing quality control until you have done threshold testing on everyone that's in your panel. And the only way to do threshold testing is, and this is what I'm saying, you start off with your spiked hardcore so that they should spit it out. If they don't spit it out, they do not have the ability to test what you're spiking. Then you do a second test, and you half spike it. They should still spit it out and say this is spiked. If someone says, yeah, that's fine, then their mouth doesn't have the ability to detect whatever you spike it. Could be
carbonation would be something I should do really soon with my taste panel. No, but it's good. Stuff like that.
I've been hearing this conversation one year.
Keep moving towards to a point where you define a baseline of if this much of this component is present, the beer should be rejected. And if you're continuing, you use science and you're actually
diacetyl
is the best example. Yeah. X number of milliliters of diacetyl, you know how spiked that glass is.
Actually, yes, okay. But
that's the one word I remember on radio day.
I could not get the sour one.
For some reason.
Sour could be
No, it's not. Because we could still